Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good day so far. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 9. So Psalm chapter 9, let's read this. It's a psalm of thanksgiving for God's justice. It says, for the choir director on Muthleben, a psalm of David. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before thee. For thou hast maintained my just cause. Thou dost sit on the throne, judging righteously. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins. And thou hast uprooted the cities, the very memory of them has perished. But the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord will also be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, thou hast forsaken those who seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples his deeds. For he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. Behold my affliction from those who hate me, who dost lift up from the gates of death, that I may tell of thy praises, that in the gates of the daughters of Zion I may rejoice in thy salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, in the net which they hid, their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment in the work of his own hands. The wicked is snared. The wicked shall return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God. For the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before thee. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Selah. Amen. Amen. So this is the Psalm of David, and there's quite a bit of conversation about what exactly this entails. It says here that it's for the choir director on the Muthleben, and it's otherwise translated as death to the son. And but most likely it's not really about the debt to the sun or anything like that, but it's most likely a song, a pretty popular song that was sung during David's time. And what David has done, he's basically taken the music of that song and then basically changed the words into this song that he's singing to the Lord. Some people think that this could be David reminiscing about his fight with Goliath or of some other battle that he has done. Some of it is prophecy, that it's written in past tense, but it's what they call prophetic present. That could be part of it. So I'm all to say, who knows? It's a somewhat of a mystery. But we know it's a song. We know that David wrote it, and we know it's meant to be sung in memory of the Lord. And so we'll just kind of look through this, and we'll just take it verse by verse and just go down the line a bit. And he starts off in verse 1. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I'll give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. He's singing praises to the King of Kings, to God, who does great things for us. And David recognized that God was worthy of praise with the whole heart. His entire being should be directed in affection toward God. Not only are lips moving, but our hearts being directed towards God. The affection of God in our hearts, our posture, our arms, every part of his being, his mind. He's not thinking about what he's got to do tomorrow or even what we have to do today. Every part of it, with his whole heart, with his whole being, that he recognized that God was worthy of praise. I love this idea. Spurgeon used to say, half heart is no heart. Half of anything is nothing. And so, you know, our God, and we have to think about this, our God is worthy of our whole heart. And when we come before the Lord, and when we have the time of worship or devotion, let it be done with the whole heart. He says, I'll give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Brothers and sisters, God, Jesus Christ, is worthy of our whole heart. And he says there, and he says, and I will tell of your wonders. David described really an important and often neglected aspect of worshiping and praising God, is to tell others of his wonders. Simply remembering what God has done and telling the great things that he's done to other people is a wonderful way to praise him. Testimony, sharing this is what God has done for me. And he's telling us this is a wonderful way of worshiping the Lord. The word wonders, and sometimes it's translated as wonderful deeds or something like that, but it's a single Hebrew word that's used predominantly in the book of Psalms, but it's used especially when it's talking about the great redemptive miracles of Jesus, but also what God does in daily experience. And then in Psalm 139, it talks about the wonders in terms of the marvelous scriptures and what the Bible has in store. And so we see all these different things kind of raised up. And so you can think in those terms. And in verse 2, it says, I will be glad and exult in thee. And so David now describes a second way to praise God. So first, he does it with his whole heart. The first way is we tell other people about how great God is. And he said, now the second way to praise God is just simply finding and expressing joy in God. This is simply choosing to rest in him, to celebrate his goodness, to celebrate his greatness, to celebrate the kindness of God. But you find joy in him. You find that place of rest. And that's really where our praise comes from. And then lastly, he says, and I will sing praise to thy name. And so this is a third way. And this is the most often way that we do it, is we sing to the Lord. But notice, even before David gets to the typical way that we worship God or praise the Lord, is by singing songs to God. Even though, I mean, quite honestly, these days we more sing songs about God or about us worshiping God. I will worship. I mean, I love those songs, but really those songs are more about what we're going to do or what we're doing, instead of songs praising, singing to God and that way. But I mean, I don't worry. I'm not being a critic. I understand. But it would be nice to sing more songs that are directed simply to God, instead of talking about us directing our praises to God. He praises God with a whole heart. That praise comes out of this rest, and he finds his joy in God, and then outflows the songs to God. The idea is to honor and celebrate the character and nature of God by recognizing him as the Most High. And then we go down to verse 3, and he turns his attention to the Lord, but thanking him for defending him against his enemies. And in verse 3, it says, and when my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. And so in the first two verses of Psalm, David described, you can think about this, general reasons for praising God. And all these reasons are very valid, because he's a great God. We find joy in him and we sing praises. He recounts basically a more specific reason why to praise God right now. And he praises him for the way that he has defeated his enemies. And so if you notice from here, all these things are past tense. And so that's why some scholars believe that he may have been reminiscing about his fight with Goliath or other things, or it could simply be a very Hebrew, Hebraic way of prophecy in a way. It's a prophetic tense. And so you could take either way. They both work if you think about it. But he's telling this is why he praises God, because his enemies, they stumble before the Lord. The Lord was good to him when his enemies attack. In verse 4 it says, "For you maintain my right cause." And David saw God move against his enemies by defending him primarily on the principle of right and wrong in his conflict. And so obviously in this way, he was right. And so we need to recognize that God is concerned with right and wrong. He's not just neutral. You know, he's not dispassionate about right and wrong, particularly among men. So he is not neutral in human conflict. It is true that men may think that God is on their side. And then in a conflict, God could either, possibly be on neither side of both parties. But under the inspiration of the Lord, he said that he has maintained my right cause. And so the simple idea is that he is concerned about right and wrong as it pertains to men. Now, the whole idea about is God on my side or whose side? I don't think that's really an important question. And you've heard me say this many times. The key is not to see which side God is on, but to get on God's side. That would be the key. And then he sits there afterwards and says, you have sat on the throne. You have rebuked the nations. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. And David saw God in action among the nations, righteously judging the wicked. And so you can think, again, it's his own personal thing, but God's judgment is equitable. It goes out to the nations. And then from verse 6, David celebrates the victory of the Lord. And he says, the enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins. So David shifted his focus really in speaking directly to the Lord. And now he addresses his enemy. It actually could be better translated as, "O enemy has come to a perpetual end." Now he's speaking to the enemy in this way. And David assured them that their evil work of destruction would end in futility. That it's the end is going to come. Because why? Because in verse 7, because the Lord abides forever. It's interesting. You might have expected David to set himself in contrast to the wicked, but he was wise and humble enough to know that God will judge the wicked more for being his own enemies instead of David's own enemies. And in verse 8, he says, "And he will judge the world in righteousness." Now, David looked forward to the eventual and ultimate rule of God over all the nations. And this would be really the perfect expression of God's righteous judgment. It's interesting that 1,000 years later, after David's time, the Apostle Paul will actually directly quote this verse as he's speaking to the people, the Athenian scholars and poets at Mars Hill, when he says that he will judge the world in righteousness. And then David turns his attention to praise God for how he treats the oppressed. In verse 9, he says, "The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed." David was grateful that God didn't just judge the wicked. He was also a stronghold and a refuge and support for those who were oppressed by the wicked, that he didn't forget. And he says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." David understood that the help of God wasn't given just because God favored some and opposed others. It was because his people have a relationship with him. They know your name and they have faith in him. They put their trust in you and they seek him who seek you. Isn't that great? Those who know your name will put their trust in you. And that's what happens. And then we get to verse 11, David is continually singing praise to God who remembers his people. And so in verse 11, it says, "Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. And David exhorted others to do what he had already done throughout this psalm, is to praise the Lord and to declare among the people his deeds. You notice here, it's interesting. Sing praise to the Lord, declare among the people his deeds. And so now we see this incredible combination of singing and preaching. And singing and preaching really come together as a means of glorifying God. And so sing praises to the Lord, declare among his people. And this is why almost every worship service, Sunday service around the world is encompassed with singing and preaching. And these things come together. We sing praises to the Lord, and then through the preaching of the word, we declare among his people the good things that God has done, his word, and how God has moved. And so we see this in beautiful marriage of the two, of singing and preaching are really coming together. And then in verse 12, he continues on, "For he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted." And David calls others to praise God, because God is an avenger. He avenges on behalf of the oppressed and the humble. God even avenges their blood. And he will remember the persecuted. He will also remember the persecutor. This is the Old Testament idea of the Goel. I know we talked about this before. And it's the blood avenger. It's the Goel is if someone came and, let's say, murdered your brother, then you have, by Old Testament law, you can be the Goel, the blood avenger, and avenge that blood. And God is the ultimate Goel in this way. And then he continues on in verse 13. It says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord." It's a plea, for mercy from the God who remembers. And so you just think about, okay, he's a persecutor, you know, he's all these things. And David's like, okay, hold on, I've also persecuted myself. Lord, can you be gracious to me? And David considered that God remembered the cry of the humble. And so David wanted God to remember him in his season of trouble, and to remember him in that way. And not just so that he could be rescued, but really you can see the heart of David, because why? Verse 14, very important, "that I may tell of all your praises." David wanted God to rescue him, not just so that he could be rescued, so that he could give God more praise and he could more passionately rejoice in God's salvation. And you see, this is why David's worship and his psalms are different. It's not just about, Lord, help me from my trouble. It's not all about me, myself, and I. But Lord, help me so I could exalt your name even more. I could tell more people about the goodness of God. And it's less about him and his troubles and more about the potential of worshiping the Lord. That was so paramount in David's eyes. And again, the idea here is that David has much more than his own benefit and well-being in mind. Even his deliverance is a way for God to be more glorified. And if you think about this, David didn't see his rescue as the final goal. The goal was also always God's greater glory. And this begs to mind, you know, like the 10 lepers. And they cried out and all these things that you know, God works in our life. And how many times do we go back and thank him? And we don't do that. Why? Because our ultimate goal was in our rescue, not in God's glory. And I think something of that needs to change in our lives in that way. And then in verse 15, he repeats something that he said in Psalm 8 earlier. "And the nations have sat down in the pit which they have made." David understood that that part of God's triumph is the enemies. Their plans are thwarted and they're ensnared in the same trap that they set for others. And we see so many examples through the scriptures in this way. Verse 17 and on, let me just wrap this up. It says, "The wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God. This is the primary reason that people leave the Lord or people backslide or these things. They just forget how good God is. They forget, the nations forget God. They forget his goodness. They forget his mercies. They forget his laws. They forget his presence. They forget his justice. They forget what God has done. And I know that, like, when I think about sin or the times that I've sinned, I mean, yeah, you can say, yes, you know, Sam, it's because you didn't love God enough. And I think there's some truth to that. But I think more pointed is I just forgot. I forgot how much God hates sin. I forgot how much God loves me. I forgot how dangerous this is. We're forgetful people. And so we're constantly told to remember. And that's why we have communion, you know, every month. I mean, honestly, we probably should be having it more, to be honest. But it's a time to remember. And God sets days and times for us to remember, because we're so forgetful people. We forget always. We forget all the time. And God wants us to remember. And so he finishes this the same way. Remember, we finished the other one. It says, "Arise, O Lord, and do not let man prevail." Previously in this psalm, David expressed a firm confidence in God's judgment of the wicked and his vindication of the righteous. Yet David did not allow this expectation to make him passive or fatalistic in regard to the outwork of God. But instead, he boldly prayed, "Arise, Lord, you know, do not let man prevail." In other words, bring your justice here to the earth. So let's go back to the beginning here of giving thanks to the Lord with our whole heart by telling him of his wonders and being glad in him. And out of that place, we sing praise to the Lord. And can I encourage us as we go into a time of singing right now that we really do give God our whole heart. We tell of his wonderful deeds and we worship him. We find joy and satisfaction in him, and everything flows out of that space. Can we do that right now? Let's worship the Lord with everything today. Amen. Let's continue to just give him our whole heart this morning. Let's just take a moment, just a pause, and let's find our joy, our countenance, our contentment. Let's find it in him. And out of that place, that's where our true worship comes from. That's how we worship with a whole heart. And let's just take a moment. Let's just go in God. Let's abide in the Lord before we go to our corporate prayers together. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for open doors and God's provision.
Let's pray in our mission focus, and let's pray for Japan and Cambodia. Let's lift these countries up before the Lord. Let's pray particularly for our church plant there, Pastor Sophia and Jungmin and Hyunjin in Tokyo. Let's pray for the members of the church that they would continue to grow. Let's pray for Grace and Oasis House in Cambodia. Pray for the Lord to really minister through our leaders there. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's ask the Lord to lead our men and women of God and lead our church in our mission endeavors, to really pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray for our local outreach, our Agape, HOMI, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Let's pray for the Lord. I know some outreaches are happening and some are not because of COVID. Let's just lift up the ones that are, that they would go out and really be effective ministers and be safe and protected. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster adoption ministries. Let's just pray for our two babies that we have right now. I know Ayang's baby is sick, and so we can maybe pray for him to get well. Let's just continue to lift up and ask the Lord to continue to give us more babies that we can care for as a church. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, IP, SPU, and SP Youth, even though they're on Zoom. Let's pray for real meaningful times together, prayer times, as well as times in the youth group and college ministry. And lastly, let's just continue to lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray the cases would go down. Let's pray for people that are in the hospitals and that have contracted COVID. Let's pray for God's healing word. And that in the midst of this time, that people would look to the Lord. They would find something beyond this world, that the security of this world is fading away. Let's just lift up. Let's pray together. Lord, we bless you, God. We praise you. We worship you with our whole heart, God. Forgive us, Lord, for sometimes just giving you pieces of our heart, Lord. We want to give you, like David, our whole heart, Lord. We want to tell the world about how good you are, God, and sing praises to your name. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are mindful, God, of the afflicted, Lord, and those that are hurting and humble, that you remember, Lord, and that you are concerned with right and wrong, God, in the way that we live our lives, Father. So, Lord, we just pray, God, that we would be worshipful followers of you, Lord, in all that we do, God. We thank you. Would you watch over us, watch over our city, God, today? We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. God bless you. Please enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and let's continue to seek the Lord this morning. Okay, take care, guys, everyone. Bye-bye.